everyone. This is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day, and I'm back in a timely fashion. What? But, oh, there's no bad because I'm actually on freaking time. Do you see how I was making all these excuses? And I want to also apologize because, I don't know, like, the microphone that I have, literally, when I move it, I always press this little button in the back that screws up the sound. So if the last couple of episodes have been sounding like, you know, the bottom of the barrel, I apologize. So hopefully I fix the settings and it won't be as bad. I hope. Oh my gosh. Because when I listen to it on the computer, it sounds so much different than what it is on my freaking phone. So I apologize for the quality. Hopefully it is a little bit better. And I was going to record this episode tomorrow morning, be all refreshed, the 7th and 3rd, but unfortunately, my evening went to trash, and I'm going to tell you why. So, it is Saturday, and I work Monday through Friday, have my weekends off, but Mr. Darcy is a nurse, so he works, like, mornings, nights, weekends, any day. And Mr. Darcy was coming home because he's off on Sundays. So I was like, oh my gosh. So I decided to make him some crab soup. And I'm from Maryland and we love crabs. Maryland, USA, by the way. Sorry. And we love crabs. That's all we eat. So I decided to make him like this crab soup, which is like bomb. Like slap your mama bomb. And then I made him some banana cream pie and a blueberry pie. But I didn't tell him I was going to surprise him with all this goodness. And then he texted me and he was like, oh, they need more help at the hospital. So I just took on a few more hours. So he's not going to be home until freaking like 12 a.m. So what am I going to do with this soup? I mean, we're going to eat it. But the element of surprise is gone because I'll be in bed and I'm not waking up. Ugh. So that's why I'm making this podcast episode right now, because what do I have to live for? The specialness is gone. But speaking of specialness, before I introduce this podcast, I also want to apologize because if you know me or if you've listened to my episodes religiously, you know I have a terrible lisp. And when I listen to my episodes back again, like in my free time, just giving myself critiques, it sounds like all of my words are being jumbled and muffled together, but it's just my terrible lisp. And I do the best I can and try to cover it up and, like, try to talk as possible. But that doesn't work sometimes. So I apologize if sometimes our words come slurred together, especially if there's an S. I apologize. But anyway, I am going to let you guys in on a very well-known secret that doesn't make any sense, but a well-known podcast. Let me introduce you guys to TK. She's the host of For the Love of History podcast. TK, you have the floor, girl.
I'm TK, your guide to the past as we uncover the people, events, and little-known facts hidden in the shadows of your old history textbooks. From Empress baddies to activist profiles, turkey gods and the history of the toothbrush, tattoos, Pompeii peepees, and everything in between, you can find it all here. There's no telling how far we'll dig or how many historical facts we'll re-examine. No event is too small, and no topic is too big, because this is For the Love of History.
And we're back. So this episode, as you probably already know by the title, is going to be about King John of England. So at first, when I made this episode, it was going to be solely about the Magna Carta. But then I started doing all this background information, and literally I had like a page worth of notes on just King John alone, so I decided to switch it and make it King John, and then just sprinkle the Magna Carta in there. And you're going to see why, because of who his mother is and some of the things that he's done. So just a little background. We'll get into that in a second. But the Magna Carta... Is this Jay-Z? Oh. Speaking of which, it's December 4th. It's Jay-Z's birthday. He's old as crap. Okay, he's like almost the same age as my parents, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, the Magna Carta. The Magna Carta is like one of the world's first constitutions, and it sets the basis for many legal documents as we know them today. So that's the U.S. Constitution, the U.S. Declaration of Independence. So that's a little background of the impact that the Magna Carta has. But like I said, we're going to be learning about King John in this episode. So sit back, relax. This is history you actually want to know. Let me insert the ad right here. Let me give you a little warning. Bump, bump, bump. Here goes the ad for Anchor. And then we'll be right back to talk about King John. Goodbye. Sayonara. You're about to come back in 30 seconds. Pow! So like I said, we're going to be talking about King John. And John was born in 1166. So this is like a billion years ago. I'm kidding. But he's the youngest son of Henry II and Eleanor of Aquitaine, which is, ringing some bells in your ear because I coincidentally already did an episode on Eleanor of Aquitaine in this season. So if you want a little bit more background on King John, maybe you should listen to her first and then come on back. But you can listen to this one without it. So, so being that he's the youngest son, he doesn't get all of the great and wonderful things that the oldest brother gets. You see this now with William and Harry. So the issue with him is, yes, he's the youngest son, but he also doesn't get crap. He doesn't get diddly. His nickname is actually called Lackland. He's called Lackland because he didn't get anything. He got literally no land from his father at all. He had nothing. And in order to kind of appease him, his father sends him off to go be a governor. But then he ends up pissing everyone off and just makes things worse. So his father tells him, just come back home. Just come back home. So I mentioned this also in the previous episode. They were involved, along with their mother Eleanor, in usurping their father. Why am I saying they? John's oldest brother, I'm sorry, is Richard the Lionheart. So his older brother Richard, John, and his mother Eleanor are all part of this little coup to get rid of their father. This ends up working, kind of, and Richard becomes the next in line, as if he wasn't already, but whatever. So Richard the Lionheart succeeds his father on September 2nd, 1189. He gets tons of land, he gets tons of money, and his mother Eleanor already has tons of money, all this land in France. So he gets that too, in addition to whatever his father has. So he's making it happen. But the rivalry between Richard and John was already there, which, you know. But you know what? This is a huge parallel to right now, because if you keep up with the royals, which I don't really do, but they just pop up on the news sometimes. I don't think there's a rival. If you live in England, let me know. But there's not a rivalry between William and Harry, but it's just like their whole relationship is meh. Is that common? Because even when I watched The Crown and it's Margaret and Elizabeth, it was like they have these moments and it was just like, ugh. Cringe. So maybe that's what happened with the two of them. But Richard was kind of like a butthole, and he goes back on his word, and like the settlement they had between Richard, John, Eleanor, and their father, and he just decides to say, screw John, I'm not going to give him anything, even though I promised that he would, and blah, blah, blah. So John's getting pissed off, which is coincidental, which is funny because John pisses everybody off anyway. So Richard goes off to fight in the Third Crusade. And as we mentioned a long time ago, the Crusades is people in Europe like fighting for the Holy Land, whatever. While Richard is away, John tries to kick him off the throne, which is kind of what they did to their father and whatever. Richard, even though he's out fighting for the Holy Land, tries to put a stop to all this, and he's successful. He forgives his brother and also places him into the line of succession, which he would have been anyway because Richard didn't have any kids. That's neither here nor there. Personally, I wouldn't do that because, you know what? This reminds me of the freaking Lion King, because we have Mufasa and Scar, and I didn't know this until I got older, but there's like this whole backstory to Mufasa and Scar, And there's, like, a whole family tree of, like, Mufasa's father and his grandfather. Anyway, they have all these issues or whatever. But that reminded me of Mufasa because Scar is always saying, like, these little side comments and, like, scheming and just being the worst. And then Mufasa's like, you know, Mufasa forgives him. I have to sneeze. Pardon me. No. I sneeze in three, so hold on. Oh, that's it. Anyway, and Mufasa's always forgiving him and whatever. But that's funny because Mufasa's a lion, rich with a lion heart. Bravery. Oh my god, they should give me my own comedy show. Ooh. Anyway, that works out for John in his favor that his brother Richard decides to be merciful. Because Richard dies of gangrene during the Crusades because he has no children. John becomes the King of England in May 1199. So let's talk about his whole kingship thing. And rewind a couple years prior to this, he marries someone named Isabella of Gloucester. And I hope I'm saying that right. Gloucester? Yeah. The marriage was bad. They didn't have any children. They didn't really see each other. And he's out here being with other women and cheating on her. And she's just... Anyway. When he becomes king in 1199, he has, like, this whole coronation. His wife wasn't even there. Like, he was already plotting for her demise. But he is not like Henry VIII. He just simply divorces her. But why? He divorces her on the grounds of consanguinity, and that's also a parallel to the last episode with Eleanor, because she divorces her husband for the same thing. And consanguinity is when you marry someone and you're too closely related, so it's kind of like some sort of incest, and then the Pope can annul your marriage. So that's what he did. So he gets rid of her and arranges for her to marry someone else, which is kind of weird. And he marries Isabelle de Angoulême. Now, the first wife was Isabella. The second wife is Isabelle. Now, she was only, like, 13 when they got married. He was, like, 34, so the gross alert grows. Isabelle was very beautiful, blonde hair, blue eyes. The issue was she was already engaged to someone else. But he just decides, look, she looks good, I want her, takes her, marries her. But this causes huge problems because she is also related to the King of France. Bam. So in addition to just being the worst, he proceeds to piss off tons of people in France. French allies, like, seize their lands and take them away from him and blah, blah, blah. He sends an army out to rectify this. Pisses more people off. He just sucks. And then he also pisses off Pope Innocent III, who excommunicates him in 1209 for not endorsing a church official he had in England. You know what this means when somebody is excommunicated? If you're Catholic, that means you don't take communion. You're kind of put off to the side. You also, because monarchs are, like, God ordained. If you're excommunicated, you're not God ordained anymore. Goodbye. Like, you suck. So he's pissing off the French. He's pissing off the Scots. He's pissing off the Pope. He's pissing off the English. He's literally pissing off everybody. And, oh, he's also the first English king to be excommunicated. I think the second monarch was Elizabeth the... Oh! I'm wrong. The first one was John, him. The second one was Henry VIII. He was excommunicated. And then Elizabeth I is excommunicated. I don't know if there's any more. But those for sure are, like, the top three people who get excommunicated at this point. Now we're on the same page that John sucks. Moving on. So he also starts pissing off the nobles in England. He's making them pay for, like, dumb stuff. He has high fines. He fines them for dumb stuff. Like, he fines you for a fee to marry. He took people's inheritances. So if your father died and he gives you some land, John was taking that kind of stuff. So everybody's upset. And he's saying that he can do this because he's the king. Nobody can put me in check. But even other kings in Europe are kind of like, hey, you need to slow your roll. You're doing the most. Because if you piss off people in England, it's going to cause people in our land to be pissed off. So just relax. Just be a good person. You know what I'm saying? He's not having none of it. So the nobles introduce this document called the Magna Carta and ask him to sign it in 1215. And some of the things it has is you can't just take people's stuff. Everybody has the right to a fair trial. There's no unreasonable taxes. And in return for signing it, he would be allowed to be back in the church and remain king. Because if you're excommunicated, you're not in the eyes of God, in the church, you're not a king anymore. So if somebody wants to take your throne, all right, cool. That's fine. So he has a lot of say if he signs this thing. And at this point, the nobles are pissed off. And since the nobles are pissed off, regular everyday people are pissed off. So he decides to go with it. And this is the first constitution type document in Europe. And here are some of the quotes from the document. Quote, no free man will be imprisoned except by the lawful judgment of his peers and by the law of the land. Another quote, in future, no officials shall place a man on trial upon his own unsupported statement without producing credible witnesses to the truth of it. Finally, wherefore we firmly charge that all men in our kingdom shall have the aforesaid liberties in all things and places forever. So it's very similar to the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution. And they're both created under very similar circumstances. Like they both are under tyrannical kings and order has to be established. So take this piece of paper, sign. And this is a revolutionary document in that a king has to be placed under the same laws as his people. As a serf, you can't go around like unjustly murdering people, even though other kings do it all the time and they will do it in the future. But you know, in theory, he's, you know, right. Anyway, so and during this time, there are also people who are like sneaky in the woods, and they're like stealing stuff, and everyone's just poor. So these people in the woods are like trying to fend for themselves and also trying to help out. This is where the legend of Robin Hood comes from. I don't think Robin Hood was a real person. No, he just comes from like all these legends of people hanging out in the woods, just trying to make do and help other people out. And Robin Hood's just a representation of kind of what people were already feeling. And if you remember Robin Hood from Disney from our childhoods, Robin Hood is Robin Hood, King John. He's called Prince John in the movie. So that's not really historically accurate, but you get me. Prince John and then King Richard comes at the end. This is the story. So he signs it kind of and things are cool for a while, and then he says, oh well, and goes back to his old ways. And it doesn't help that Pope Innocent is like, yeah, kings don't have to sign this kind of thing. They're appointed by God. Be great, me boy. So he just decides to do that. Screw all of you. And the nobles get pissed off again, and then they start rising up. But on the bright side, John gets sick. And he dies in 1216. And his son, Henry III, would go on to rule for over 50 years. So what about the Magna Carta? Because, I forgot to do the ping. I'm so sorry. Okay, I talked to my husband about this and he taught me how to take the sound off. I just wish I could remember. I'm so sorry. I wish I could remember how to turn off the sound. Okay, let's hope nobody texts me because the episode's almost over. Oh, Lord. Where were we? Oh, we were talking about the Magna Carta. Sorry. His son attempts to reissue the Magna Carta process again. And it's reissued in 1217. Then there's some more rebellion, and like, screw it. And then they try it again for a final time in 1225, and it sticks. There are only 4 copies of the Magna Carta today. And that is King John and the Magna Carta. Hashtag Jay-Z. Yeah, I think sometimes... I think sometimes bad things have to happen for good things to happen. You have this terrible king, and then good things came out of it. So we have, like, order. In theory. I wish there was, like, some moral of the story. There's really not. I usually have something nice to say after, but I don't. Yeah, I don't. Okay, well, that's King John. And I hope you enjoyed the episode. It's a little on the shorter side. Dang. You guys remember back in season 1 when, like, the audio was terrible and I was, like, awful and everything just sucked and my episodes were, like, I think I had an episode that was, like, 5 minutes. Can you imagine? Oh, my God. I hope we don't go back to that. And for a long time, I really thought about, pardon me, just deleting all of season 1. But then I thought to myself, when I first started doing this podcast, I believed in myself so freaking much that, I don't know, I feel bad for getting rid of it. And it also reminds me of how far I've come as far as like audio and content and research and taking things a lot more seriously. So I keep it. So even though I cringe every time I listen to it, I listened to an episode from season 1 a couple days ago, and I was like, oh my God, this is horrendous. But anyway, look, you gotta know where you came from to get to where you're going, right? Anyway, I think that is everything. It is, like I said, December 4th. The new year is, what, 21 days away? The new year's in, like, whoa. The new year's in, oh, that's Christmas. That's 21 days away. Whoops. The new year's 24 days away? Whoa. The new year's 27 days away? The new year's 27 days away. And that's, like, only a couple weeks. It's 4 weeks. Oh, God. But, hopefully the new year brings something better. It probably won't, because we said that for this year. So I feel like things are going to go downhill again. Because, you know, we have like this Omarion variant. I work in the government. It wants to shut down every freaking day. I just can't. You guys be safe. And as always, wash your hands. And what country am I shouting out? Oh, my Spotify did a Spotify Wrapped. And I thought I already had listeners in Germany, but the Spotify Wrapped said that I had my first listener in Germany. So if you're German, what's up? Guten Tag. Auf Wiedersehen. Whoa, I have a friend who's half German, half black. And that's all I say all the time. And her mom is so cute. She's like one of the best cooks I've ever met in my life. And like, she just has like the cutest little whoop, whoop accent. So if you're German, you're just adorable. Guten Tag, Ricola. Let me put you guys out of your misery. Okay, bye.